Jesus I shall see. When I look upon his face and thank him for his saving grace, when he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be. Let's sing it now. Sing the chorus one more time. Oh, what a day. Sing it. Oh, and I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. The Lord. That's not just a song. That's a pretty song, but it's not just a pretty song. It's something we're looking to. It's our hope. What a day that will be when our Jesus we shall see. Well, let me just say this. You are a cool looking group of people this morning. And I say that in the literal meaning of the word. It was warm in here last night. I think they told us that everything was restored about 8:15, and well, it's just so good to be back in the house of the Lord again. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. I know some of you drove a long ways to be here last night and not getting to stay long, and we're certainly sorry about that, but the Lord wrote that down. He didn't let that go unnoticed, the sacrifices that you made. And so we're just glad to be able to be in church this morning. What a privilege it is to be back in the house of the Lord. Somebody say praise the Lord. Somebody say praise the Lord. Let's give him a real good hand clap of praise if you love him this morning. Amen. Now why don't you turn around, shake somebody's hand, greet him in the name of the Lord. Tell him you're glad to see him in church on Sunday morning. What a privileged people we are. Yes, what a day. Oh, when my Jesus I shall see, and I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace, when he takes
sky, no more tears to dim the eye. a glorious day that will be.
Oh, let's sing that chorus one more time.
Oh, what a day that will be.
Oh,
when my Jesus I shall see.
Brother Daniel, if you'll get ready this morning to take us to the Lord on behalf of our prayer request. I want to have prayer this morning for Sister, is that Katie or Kathy? I don't know if who that is. Fractured both legs and in a lot of pain. Pray for a speedy recovery. So we want to remember that prayer request this morning on behalf of that need. Continue to pray for Brother Bert, Sister Barbara Grabley. Both in a lot of pain, need healing from our Lord. Brother Harvey Lunsford wants to thank God and all of his people for praying for his brother Stephen, who was diagnosed with a growth on his brain and had brain surgery. Everything has come back benign, and he wants to appreciate the prayers of all God's people. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Well, just give the Lord a good hand on that behalf. Amen. Sister Judy Keith, not feeling well today. Want to remember her in prayer. Brother Byron sends that in. Pray for Brother John Horniak, who is at the ER with chest pains. We certainly want to pray for Brother John this morning. The Lord would be with him. I think that's an announcement right there. I'm in need of prayer, sickness in my body. Also asking prayer for a friend's child with kidney problems. Thank you, and may God bless. Sister Nadine Finch sends that in. So let's remember that need this morning. Sister Rachel Estep, not feeling well. Her legs hurting her real bad. So let's remember her in prayer today as we pray. All the unspoken prayer requests, if you have a need, something you'd like for this group to pray about. We're serving a mighty God. We're serving a resurrected living Savior. He's just as real right now as he ever was. You believe that with all your heart. Where the shortcoming is not in him. It's in his people. How many of you want to be a better believer? How many of you want stronger faith? How many of you know we're going to have a rapture in faith? Get out of here. Let's stand to our feet this morning. We certainly appreciate this guy right here, don't we? God bless Brother Daniel Nunley.
God's good to us, isn't he? Amen. I'd like to say happy Father's Day to all you fathers out there today. Amen. I remember my dad. I can think when I was a young boy, we used to go to a Pentecostal church. And I remember my dad going to the altar, and he'd get down and pray that God would give him the talking in tongues, because they told him that that was the evidence of the Holy Ghost. And I remember that he tried, and I don't never remember him hearing him talk in tongues, but my brother David was the first one that came in the message. And he came up to Pennsylvania. My father came up to Pennsylvania one time. And I remember he told me, he said, Daniel, he said, what David believes is right. The Pentecostal preacher told my dad that he didn't have the Holy Ghost because he didn't talk in tongues. But my dad had a greater revelation than that Pentecostal preacher ever had. Amen. Knowing the day that we are living in, knowing the message for this hour. Amen. Let's pray over these needs. Heavenly Father, oh, how thankful we are to be in this church this morning. Knowing, God, that we could be in a grave, we could be lost and undone. But Lord, that you have mercy upon us. God, we thank you for this congregation here today, for these people. Thank you, God, because we are living on this side of Calvary. Heavenly Father, we pray now that your move for these requests today, these needs that's been put forth. I pray that you move for each one of them. God, those by way of in there, I pray that you be with them. For Brother Donnie, I pray that you bless him, Jesus. Oh, God, help us that we'll be drawn closer now than ever before. For God, we know that we are living in the end time. Everything is falling in place so quickly. God, we commit this service unto your hand right now. Pray, Lord, that you'll take complete charge. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Dan. Praise the Lord. Ushers, if you want to come at this time, we'll receive the morning tithe and offering you give us unto the Lord. If you're visiting with us in the service today, we certainly want to welcome you. Glad to have you here. All those that would be streaming the service, we pray it'll be a great blessing to those folks as well. There, I noticed there was a lot of folks wanting to know why we wasn't on the internet last night and different things, but we're here today. So God bless our streamers today. Let me make a couple of announcements. Today is the last day to sign up for the reception for Derek Mills and Hadessa Vaughn. The sign-up sheet is over in the library, so if you'd like to sign up to, I guess that's the wedding reception. If you'd like to sign up for that, today will be the last day. Their wedding is June the 25th at 6:30 p.m., so remember that announcement. Let's sing a song this morning. We're going to have maybe a special or two. We'll go right on into the service. I guess Brother Donnie's just... I went into his office last night, and he was so sad because we weren't going to get to have service. So I just pray the Lord just doubling on him today, doubling on our ears to hear the word of God. It's a privilege to get to be in the house of the Lord. It's such an opportunity to get to be a believer. Amen. Let's sing, Oh, Happy Day. Isn't it a happy day to be a happy valley? Praise the Lord. As Brother Daniel said, God bless all you daddies, all you fathers. Hope you have just a tremendous Father's Day to be with your family. And, well, we're going to have church. Then you can go be with your family. Let's sing this song this morning. I don't know what key it is, but let's try. Oh, happy day. Oh, happy day. Thank you.
Amen. You can be seated this morning. Now, I want to do one more thing. We'll say we're so glad to have Brother Keith Phillips back in service this weekend. Brother Keith, God bless your heart. I know it's been a long journey, but the reward is in the journey. You're still here. Praise the Lord. You're still here, Brother Keith. We praise God for that this morning. Now, I know many of you participated in Bible school, and Brother Michael Bailey, for an old country boy, he does pretty good. I'd like at this time for everybody that helped at Bible school, and there may be some of them still downstairs, but I'd like for you to stand this morning. Everybody that had anything to do with Bible school, we ain't got a living soul to participate. How in the world did it go on like it did? Everybody stand if you had something to do with Bible school. Praise the Lord. Let's give them a real good hand this morning. Amen. I want to say thank you so much. And I know the children just had a wonderful time. Brother Donnie was able to be in service with them over there twice. I think on Wednesday and Thursday night maybe or something like that. And well, it's just a tremendous blessing to all of them. Brother Donnie was blessed. The people were blessed. And well, we were blessed here Wednesday night by Brother Terry Horn's message, weren't we? I'm glad we believe that report. You know what? You've got one simple thing to do. Believe the report. Just believe the report. It's a true report. Praise the Lord. I believe we have Brother Caleb Adkins. Is that right, Brother Larry? He's singing this morning. Brother Caleb, if you'll come on, get ready to sing. Let's sing just a speck more of that song, Oh Happy Day. It's a happy day. Oh, happy day. It's a happy day. When my Jesus washed, when my Jesus washed, you're not singing, He washed my sins away. Thank you, Lord. One other short announcement. There's some Bibles still over in the library that you graduates have not went to get. So go by the library and pick your Bible up after service today. Let's enjoy Brother Caleb. He's just a good singer, isn't he? Amen.
My faithful Father, enduring friend, your tender mercies like a river with no end, it overwhelms me. Covers my sin each time. time I come into your presence, I stand in wonder once again. Your grace still amazes me. Your love is still a mystery. Each day I fall on my knees. Your grace still amazes me. Your grace still amazes me.
Service. Let's have Brother Harry sing this song as our pastor gets ready to come bring us the word of the Lord. You love everybody? You love the Lord? You glad He loves you? Somebody say glory. Somebody say praise the Lord. Give Him one more hand clap of praise if you love Him.
I am redeemed. You set me away every stain. I'm not who I am. seems like all I could see was the struggle. Oh, I've been haunted by ghosts that lived in my past. Bound up in shackles of all my failures, wondering how long is this gonna last. But then you look at this prisoner and say to me, son, stop fighting that fight that's already been won. I am redeemed. You say
thank God for it today. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And yet we know the part of us that is redeemed. There's two-thirds of us that's still waiting for that part of redemption. Paul says it that those of us who have received the first fruits of the Spirit, we're still waiting, to wit, for the redemption of the body. When will that happen? At the coming of the Lord Jesus. We appreciate all the great things that God has done for us in this day, all the doctrines and things that's been restored, yet we're not fully, completely capped off yet until Jesus comes. Aren't you glad for that? Let's turn, if you would, today to the Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 14. Certainly welcome all of you to the house of the Lord today. So glad we can have church today.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. It's bad when you get snowed out in the wintertime and you pretty well know all day you can't come to church. But when you come to church and then you're told we can't have church because we ain't got no power, that's really bad. Amen. But thank the Lord they got it fixed and was able to have it today. Sister Janet Payne reminded me of something that I'd asked Sister Clark years ago. We'd had a snowstorm, electricity was going out here and there and there, and I'd call Sister Clark and ask her, I said, Sister Clark, you got power? And she said, yes, I've got power, I just ain't got no electricity. That was Sister Clark, wasn't it? We certainly loved her and still love her. That's right. O my dove, thou art in the clefts of the rock and the secret places of the stairs. Let me see thy countenance. Let me hear thy voice. For sweet is thy voice and thy countenance is comely. Take us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines. For our vines have tender grapes. My beloved is mine and I am his. He feedeth among the lilies. Until the daybreak and the shadows flee away, turn my beloved and be thou like a roe or a young hart upon the mountains of Bether. How many would like to be remembered today as we pray over the word? God bless you. Let's bow our heads together. Lord Jesus, thank you for your grace to us today, Father. So grateful once again that we could be able to assemble here in the house of God and hear your words, sing, pray, offer testimony of your greatness and your goodness. Lord Jesus, now as we come to the breaking of the bread of life, I pray that you would speak to us, Lord. May the one who walked on the way to Emmaus, may his fingerprints be on the bread today, I pray. May it not be me, but Lord Jesus, may you be able to take the bread and break it before us, that we will be ministered to, challenged, helped, delivered, set free, whatever we have need of, Lord. Speak to us your word. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. You may be seated. We'd like to go fox hunting again this morning. I want to speak to you. The first fox that I'd like to deal with today is, he's a little guy. A lot of times he doesn't start out very big. He's not very ferocious. He's the fox of depression. He can start out with very small thoughts. Dissatisfaction. Disappointment with people. Disappointment on your job. Maybe disappointment with yourself. A prolonged sickness. Failures. It can come from many, many things. There's something about the human psyche, the way that we were made in the beginning. God knew, of course, that man would fall. But our makeup in the beginning was not made to deal with the stress and the pressure and the oppression and depression and diseases and all that are so rampant today. And Satan, once, of course, man failed, and he was able to study fallen man and see the weaknesses and things that were left by the fall. Satan has continued to polish his skills, if I can say it that way, and work on human beings. Now, it's a great drawback for us as the people of God when we think that we are so saved that we're superhuman. When we think we are so saved and so filled with the Holy Ghost that natural human sicknesses, diseases, whatever more, will not try their best to attack us. As a matter of fact, we're believing a lie of the devil when we believe that. And we know that everybody's makeup is a little bit different. Maybe some of you have never really fought deep depression. I never have myself. I'm thankful for that. But yet, there's times I've been depressed. I left church last night depressed because we couldn't have church. But that's small in comparison to what a lot of people really feel. They feel they've not achieved their goal in life, or maybe they liked a certain girl or a certain boy and somebody else wound up with that, what they felt like was theirs. And so many things in life that people meet. Sometimes it can be a failed marriage. It can be so many, many variables that will make this depression. And you realize that depression, this little fox, he doesn't just attack the white folks. He doesn't attack the black folks. He's not just here in America, but he is around the world. He attacks the youth. He attacks the successful. You think that if success and wealth and money and fame and popularity would be able to bring satisfaction, we should never have a celebrity that ever takes their life. But yet it is a growing problem in our nation as well as around the world. Why would a millionaire take their life? Why would someone who has wealth, fame, popularity, seemingly everything that we would strive for, and yet they would wind up taking their life? It shows there's something missing that wealth and these things can never satisfy. And many times, you know, the people that are around those people that will do that, they are so surprised and cannot believe that this individual took their life, because there was no warning signs. There was nothing there that they were able to hear or see that they were able to detect it. So it shows that this type of an individual doesn't always show the red flag. The depression is working very, very deep. and they don't go around talking about it, yet it's really there. And I'd like to share some things with you today, statistic-wise and all that, so it'll kind of help you to see. Worldwide statistics, depression is the leading cause of disability worldwide. Almost 75% of people with mental disorders remain untreated in developing countries. Listen to this next one. With almost 1 million people taking their lives each year. Almost 1 million people taking their lives each year. How so? By this little fox called depression. Now, he doesn't seem like that he's going to hurt anybody. You know, it's just you picking at yourself and you going through this time of sadness and feeling like that you haven't really accomplished anything. Anybody ever been there besides me to where you felt like you're a failure? And you look at your goals in life and what God wanted you to be, even maybe what your parents wanted you to be, what you felt like you should be, and you look around and you say, my goodness, here I am at 40 or 50 or 60 or whatever more, and you say, what have I ever really done? What have I really accomplished? And you go to looking at yourself and evaluating yourself and say, oh, there's no harm in that. We all should do it. I agree with that to a certain degree. But there is a spot where we have to stop it. Because that little fox will start right there. And he will start working on you to try to convince you you have no reason to live another day. Watch this. Almost 1 million people taking their lives each year. In addition, according to the World Health Organization, or WHO, 1 in 13 globally suffers anxiety. According to suicide.org, a teen takes his or her life every 100 minutes. While we have been sitting here in church, teens around the world have taken their life. Many more have tried and did not succeed. Because this little fox goes to eating on their life. Now we understand that many of them are not serving the Lord. But again, let me say to you, we are the most foolish if we feel like, because we are following the message of the hour and we are Christians, or even if you think, well, I've got the Holy Ghost, I'm exempt from such thing, but your mind ain't got it and your body ain't got it. Your psyche don't have it. You are still a human being. I don't care how much Holy Ghost you have. And Satan knows that we are still human and this outside part is not yet fully redeemed. As a matter of fact, it is still under the curse of sin. It can be sick, it can be depressed, it can be down, it can be weary. That's why you need the Holy Ghost, so you can stay drunk. There ain't nothing that helps you better than dealing with Laodicea than to be on a 24/7 drunk. I'm not talking about Old Crow or Jack Daniels or none of that stuff. I'm talking about the true baptism of the Holy Ghost. Now, in one sense of the word, you look at the world where we are and you'd think that man has reached a place that he's never quite been before. Now, man built the pyramids, he built the Sphinx, man has accomplished many great things down through time. But as far as we know, man never sent people to the moon. They were never able, as far as we know, to make satellites, to be able to send images back from space, back down to the earth. And for the first time, man is able to peer into the eternity as it was, as far as the galaxy and all those things. Man has been able to do surgery by robots. Man has been able to do so many things that we have no records that man was ever able to achieve before in any prior civilization. And man has been able to do things that would generate supposedly great wealth and great happiness and great satisfaction. So why is it that people are more lonely and people are more despondent. Now, we're not just talking about folks that are old and people that are living in a nursing home and people never come by and see them anymore, but we're talking about people in the very prime of their youth or in the very time of their health when they should have such happiness and great wealth and great be able to enjoy all that they have. And why are those people taking their lives at an increased risk in so much that the experts are concerned that it's going to reflect and trickle on down? Now, you could see it maybe if it was the poor, they're behind on their bills, they're not able to pay their car payment, their rent, and all those things. But the rich, the wealthy, the up and ups, those that seemingly have everything, they are taking their lives. Why? Man's soul was never made to be satisfied with money. It was never meant to be satisfied with sex or drugs or alcohol or adultery or fornication. Come on, saints. And Satan knows exactly what he's doing whenever he developed these things and led people into it. Because we know that there are certain people that have certain tendencies toward addictive behavior or addictive substances or whatever more. And Satan has been able to design such things with that in mind. And yet he will lead them to these things, trying to convince them it will be the satisfying portion of what they're looking for. And then once he gets them addicted, then he pushes them into an overdose. They die and they meet God lost. So much for satisfaction. Watch this. Suicide is the third leading cause of death for young people ages 15 to 24. And yet we've got more educated young people at this age than any generation has ever had. Satan has seen fit to that. You can't get a good job anymore unless you've got a degree in this and a degree in that and a degree in something else. Time you get out of school, you're too old to even work because you've had to have so many degrees. You're all to pieces. I mean, your mind's shot, your back's broke, and you ain't got no sense. So retiring them degrees, if you could do that, it'd be well. But Satan is the one in charge of this civilization and this economy. And yet there's more young people with degrees than there's ever been. And there's more, not only young people, but older people with degrees. So if degrees would bring satisfaction, we ought to be the happiest age that's ever been on the earth. But in reality, we're not. Now, look at this. Suicide, the third leading cause of death for young people ages 15 to 24. Approximately 20% of teens experience depression before they reach adulthood. And between 10 to 15% suffer from symptoms at any one time. Only 30% of depressed teens are being treated for it. Now, you imagine 30%. Now, these are the ones that they know about. What about the ones that won't answer these polls? If they know about this, and this is the numbers that they have. Oh, you said that don't affect us. Does it not? I wonder. I got a phone call this morning from a preacher who just got off the phone with another message preacher and wanted me to be sure and pray for him because he's having terrible and battling terrible, terrible suicidal thoughts this week. A message preacher. We are human beings. This message does not keep us from the powers of hell. But it does empower us if we will take what God's given us. It will give us the power and authority to be able to withstand this evil darkness that has enshrouded the entire earth and its population. Notice that some teens are more prone or more at risk for teen depression and suicide than others. Among them, teen females develop depression twice as often. Now notice this, twice as often or more often than men do. Now you say, Brother Donnie, that wouldn't be my daughter. Are you sure? That's right. Well, I've raised her in the message. That don't mean that she can't fight these types of things. And it doesn't mean that they're inferior. It doesn't mean that the teams that deal with this, that they should hang themselves in shame, hide their head in shame. Absolutely not. It means they are a human being, and Satan has found their weakness, and he's doing everything he can to exploit that weakness and use it toward his own goal, which is ultimately get you to take your life. But let me tell you this, that there is hope. There is help. As I studied this week and running across a great percentage of the poll of youths around the world that have been polled, and many, many of these young people, their two words that they chose to use, Brother Dow, was that they felt helpless and hopeless. Helpless and hopeless. What an hour for us to be living. And yet we are sending orbiters to orbit the moon and to be able to reach out. And science has reached its greatest place of utopia. And we've come up with all kinds of medications and all types of cures and all types of things that we're doing. And our young people around the world feel more hopeless now and more helpless now than they did in the Andalusian destruction. Than they did before God annihilated Sodom and Gomorrah. Why? Because the very power of darkness is pouring itself out of hell, and demon powers are streaming in every direction. It's not just with the old people anymore, but it's with 10-year-olds, 11-year-olds, 12-year-olds that are taking their life. But let me sound a trumpet to you today and say, you may not have a reason to live in the world. You may not have many things to look forward to out in the world, but in Christ Jesus you have everything to look forward to. In Christ Jesus you have thousands times thousands of reasons to live. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Listen to this. Some experts say that we have raised our children with unrealistic expectations. The same message perpetually fed to us by media. We should feel good always. And preachers are preaching the same thing. Start out with a Volkswagen, then get a Cadillac, and then get a Mercedes, and then get a Porsche, and then get a gun and blow your brains out. That's not what the gospel is about. The gospel is not about you getting a Mercedes. It's about you getting saved from hell. Praise the Lord. So when the preachers now, they turn to the prosperity gospel. You imagine? They turn to the prosperity gospel. Oh, sow a seed. Isn't it amazing how the preachers always preach that, but it's always you sowing the seed to them. Wonder how many of them sow the seed back to you. Wouldn't that be something? If the congregation of 5,000 stands up and said, now today, we're reversing this message on you. We want you to sow a seed of $100 to each of us. Well, sauce for the goose, sauce for the gander. But you know what? It don't work that way, does it? How many of them have gathered in churches around the world, around America today? They have gathered and they've come and they've heard their social gospel. They've heard how much God loves them, how much God understands why they can't live right. How many of them will walk out of there today and they'll go and buy a nice meal and they'll sit down in their heart, Brother Dow, trying to understand, is this all God is about? Is this all going to church is about? Let me tell you, no, that's not what it's all about. It's not all about a new car and a new home. It is about God giving you a peace in your mind that when you lay down on your bed at night, you don't feel like taking your own life because you have nothing to live for. Some parents, now listen, notice the experts how they're looking at this. Some say parents haven't taught kids the real coping skills they need in today's turbulent world. So they protect them. Everybody's going to love you. Everybody's going to like you. You're lying to that kid. Name it, claim it. You can be anything you want to be. That's a false doctrine out of hell. You need to be what God wants you to be, not what you want to be. Many experts, now listen, they're the experts. Many experts agree there is more stress today than in previous generation. Well, I'm not sure who these experts are, but I'm an expert when it comes to that. What about all y'all? Y'all agree, man. Y'all pretty expert, ain't you? Y'all experience stress? Well, I don't know who these guys are that they consider to be an expert, but I'm a pretty good expert dealing with stress. I figure every mortal here this morning, if you're very old at all, you know that even in your own life, you can see the stress has increased in the last few years greater. You say, God, when is this ever going to go? When's it ever going to leave? And we realize it is not going to get better. It is going to get worse according to God's word. Stress triggers depression and mood disorders. That's why you go down the road, you pull over in front of somebody and they drag out a 45 or they're, you know, taking their hands. Look, friends, we're living in a dangerous age. You never know who is in front of you or behind you or beside you. Notice this. Suicide is the third leading cause of death from the age from 12 to 18, age demographic. When the age demographic is expanded 10 to 24, suicide becomes the second leading cause of death. More educated, more money, more smart, more intellectual, more beautiful now. Satan has seen to that. More pleasing themselves, more living what they want to do, doing what they want to do because the church let down years ago. So we've even got church people doing whatever they want to do because the preacher ain't going to say anything about it. And yet we've got a greater increase. If we're more happy, why are we killing ourselves more? If we're more happy because we're getting to do finally what we want to do, why are we so sad? Why are we so burdened? It's this little fox. States in the United States spend nearly $1 billion annually on medical costs associated with completed suicides and suicide attempts by youth up to 20 years of age. $1 billion a year in suicides that are completed and attempted ones. But we would rather spend millions and billions sending some robot up to Mars to see if we can find and see if there's any life there. Why don't we help these people? You know why? Science can't help them. They know we've got a problem, but they don't have the answer. Oh, well, if we can educate people, if we can limb them up, you know, lift them up out of their spot by their demographics, let's educate them and let's make them more this and that. That's the problem. What if we can raise the blacks to a higher level and raise the Hispanics and the poor whites and let's raise them all up. Let's educate them more. Give them more money and make them a whole lot better. They'll be more happy. Rome has already tried to do that. Rome done it in their time when they conquered the world. So did the Babylonians. And they have never done it. Why? Because man cannot produce soul satisfaction. This is heart-wrenching to me. More teens die from suicide than from cancer, heart disease, AIDS, birth defects, stroke, pneumonia, influenza, and chronic lung disease combined. So the greatest cause of death to our young generation is not cancer, not TB, not the flu. It's them taking their own life. Because that little fox goes to eating and eating. For the girls, it can be their looks. You're not pretty. You're not attractive. You'll never get a boyfriend. Praise the Lord. Nobody will ever like you. Sister, you need to throw that lie right back in the devil's face and say, get out of my face and go back to hell. There's a desire in me for a man, but I don't want no sorry outfit man. I want a man that's a son of God. And if I have to wait for 5 years longer, it'd be worth the wait than it would be to settle for some old trash pot or some knucklehead that won't wind up loving you, you young'uns. Wait 5 years, 10 years if you got to, till you get a man that'll love you. Come on, it's the truth. And it's the same with boys. Oh my, you got to go outside the message to get a girl. Where did you hear that trash? We have got the best quality. majority of young ladies on the earth. Notice this, the number of suicide attempts that are estimated to happen in the United States every day by teens. 5,400. Every day. Oh, but we're the land of the free. The home of the brave. Are we free? Are we really? Prophet of God said we're in more worse bondage now than we've ever been. If he said that years ago, what in the world could he say today? Can you imagine 5,400 young people every day attempting to take their life? Why? They don't want to live. Many of them have been raised in a home that all they heard was fussing and fighting and arguing and debating between mom and daddy. So they don't want to get married. They were raised in a home to where you had a drunk father or a sorry woman that was out with other men. I'm going to preach this morning. And they think, I don't want that. I don't want to be that way. And so what do they do, Brother Terry? Instead of giving them a future, and there's people crossing our border in the south, coming from Guatemala, coming from Honduras, coming from Mexico, trying to catch the American dream. And there's people in America saying, I don't want America no more. I want out of here. So they kill themselves. So the depression works, and it works, and it works. It's layers. It starts very small, as the fox does, going to eating in such a small way. Then it goes to building. And building. One disappointment after another. One heartache after another. One sad cycle after another. To where they think, I'm under this cloud. And those of you that's interested in setting discernments, when Brother Ram would call people out, this is what he would identify: the darkness or a cloud that was hanging over people. I don't care what medication you take, that medication will not make that cloud go poof. Now, I'm not against medication now. I thank God for what medication they're able to do. But our help is not a pill. The finale of our help, my brother, sure, if a pill can help you, take it. But know that that pill is not your healer. The Lord Jesus suffered stripes on his back so you could be healed. There ain't no pill stripes for you. Oh, my. Depressed teens with coexisting disorders such as substance abuse problems are less likely to respond to treatment for depression. Now, when I read this, I thought, you rotten devil. Those that need it the most. And when they try to treat them, they won't respond. Which produces what? More hopelessness. The issue that teens face with treatment for depression is that many antidepressants also have a side effect that may contribute to an increased level of suicidal thoughts. So the devil is the one who's got him in that spot. And then these people who come up with the medication, they might have been trying to do their best. But in doing that, they produce this medication which adds more suicidal thoughts to a suicidal person. Where does all this come from? This is not the attributes of our God. He wouldn't make such a mess. So you imagine people trying to reach out for help, and the prescribed medication, they take the medication exactly as the doctor said, and they find their suicidal thoughts and their depression even greater. Under doctor's orders. But I've got a prescription today that will not fail you. I read it to the young people the other night. I told them, Brother West asked me Wednesday night after the service if I'd take the Friday night service. I hadn't prepared for it, hadn't studied for it, so it made me a little bit nervous, you know. So I went home Wednesday night after the service and started studying and looking at some different directions, put some things down, still didn't have no inspiration from the Lord. So I went to bed Wednesday night thinking about it and praying about it. I woke up early in the morning. As you know, one of the Lord's favorite times to deal with me is early in the morning. So I looked over at the clock. It was 4:15. The Spirit of God spoke these words to me. Tell them they need power. Tells them they need power. You know what? I ain't just going to tell the young people. I'm going to tell all of us. We need power. If we're ever going to overcome this age, it's going to take the power of the Holy Ghost. Quoting scriptures alone won't do it. Quoting the prophet's message, you can do it till you're blue in the face. That won't give you power. Jesus said, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. What kind of power am I talking about? Power to overcome depression. Power to overcome the evil of this age. Power to be able to live a godly life right in the middle of hell. Power from the power of God. Pills can't give you power. Lord Jesus, the number of teens who receive medical care every year because of self-inflicted injuries, 157,000. That's teens that are taking razor blades, cutting their arms, their wrists, or their ankles. Or those that are trying to find some sort of peace, an appeal, or a drink. It's a simple message, but it's Jesus that they need. And to me, it's so sad that we have people like that out here. But you know what's even worse? We have people like that that come to church. And they hear it, and they know it. And yet, they don't care enough themselves to press beyond it. Oh, but Brother Donnie, I don't feel drawn. I don't feel drawn. You sorry, rotten excuse of a believer. Let me ask you something. What was it that woman, the Syrophoenician woman, felt? Did she feel drawn? Did she feel some anointing? Did she feel a jerk go all over her? She had a need. And her need, she didn't need a drawing. She had a need. That woman didn't have the Holy Ghost. That woman didn't have one scripture. That woman didn't have one quote. That woman didn't have one thing to encourage her. As a matter of fact, the prophet of God said, when she come to the Lord Jesus, he tried his best to discourage her. We don't even know if she's elect or not. We don't even know if she's bride or not. We know she didn't have the Holy Ghost, but she had a need. Her daughter needed help. That woman will condemn every mortal that sits on a church pew and says, well, I'm waiting. What are you waiting on? Your need to get bigger? Oh, now, Brother Donnie, we're bride. We're in the bride age. We're beyond time. What pills you been popping? Sound like to me you've been in the bathroom snorting something. I agree, my soul's in the bride age, but brother, let me tell you what, my body's still slammed right down here in time. Just like yours. Notice this in the adoption. The prophet said yesterday, people don't know what depressing times comes with this type of ministry. I got real depressed. Brother Branham. This is one reason I love this man. How many TV preachers would tell you this? I've never been this. Of course not. You're on marijuana. You're on cocaine and heroin. But one day there'll be no cocaine in hell. You mean depression can come with a ministry? Praise the Lord. I got real depressed, and I said to the wife, I wish I could just go on. Any of y'all ever said that? My God, we've got hundreds of angels here this morning. I didn't know it. If you, Brother Donnie, it's not habit. It's how many times have I? I wish I could go on. And she said, why do you say that, Bill? And I said, oh, I have troubles and things. Then seemed like the Holy Spirit said, are you trying to bypass them? Are you trying to dodge them? See, I said, just let me stand right up in the face of it all and face it out. Isn't it amazing that the Holy Spirit didn't say, here, I'll give you strength. Here, I'll help you. Here, I'll give you courage. He rebuked him. Which is what I need when I get there, and a lot of times what you need, that's why the Lord gives it to you. I'm just a mailman. Don't get mad at me. Now, instead of the Lord saying, I understand, Brother Bill. Oh, my goodness, you've got such a hard time. That's the worst thing to say when you're in that type of an attitude. Now, the truth of it is, when many people get there, they do not want help. They do not want words of encouragement. They want you to get down the hog pen and wallow with them. And if you try to lift them up and try to encourage them, I've seen it time and time again, they'll get madder than a hornet at you. Because they want pity, which is another fox, but we'll leave him alone for this morning. Now, watch this again in perfect faith. He said, I get spells too, you know. I get moody. Now, I realize only me and Brother Brown, this quote only applies to us all. The rest of you heavenly hosted are here this morning. You're sitting there batting your angelic eyelids, looking at me and trying to understand, poor Brother Donnie, he's still immortal. Anybody here besides me that's humans that still get moody? And all the time it's not good moods? Go ahead, raise your hand. That's it. There you go. Overcome the flesh. Conquer your pride. Why? This is not redeemed. And them little foxes know how to come and look at you and work on you. And then the same devil that gets you aggravated and will get you to say something. I'm not talking about cursing or anything like that. Just running your mouth. Oh, I don't know why God even wanted. I don't know why I even want to go to church. I don't know why I even go to church. Every time I go, they tear me all to pieces. I ain't even shook Brother Donnie's head in 6 months. I don't know what in the world is going on with me anyhow. And then that same devil come back and say, shame on you, Dan Dyer, for thinking them things. It proves you're not a seed of God. See, if you was a seed of God, you'd never. The same devil that told you to say it, he talks you into robbing the bank and then calls 911 while you're in there holding the teller up. And then he'll come back and condemn you. When are we ever going to learn? God don't hold you responsible for the thoughts the devil puts in your mind. God holds you responsible for the actions you act out from those thoughts that are in your mind. I get moody. I get to a spot. What gets me is, I get to those spells when I get all overworked and Satan comes telling me, nobody cares for you. You really haven't got a friend in the world. Now, this was a man that had personal acquaintance with thousands, thousands times thousands of people. But that don't really mean anything. There was an element of truth here that Satan had found a weakness in Brother Branham's humanity. And it was wanting to be loved and feeling like that he wasn't. Well, praise the Lord. Preach, Brother Donnie. Amen, Brother Donnie. I'm with you. And you see, all of us want to be loved, do we not? Appreciated, told that we're loved, so on and so on and so on. And God wants us to be. But yet whenever that little fox will find that this thing is there, he'll go to gnawing on it. Now really, you don't have a friend in the world. Now there's no way you and I could realize what this is when people come to you all the time. Brother Branham, you know, pray. Brother Branham, God show anything about my child. I lost my car keys, Brother Branham. And people constantly coming to him, but they all wanted something. They wanted something. They wanted prayer for this. They wanted prayer for that. God show you anything about that. What about this, Brother Aaron? What about that? You can't imagine. I can't imagine how that must have felt. How many would come to him and just say, I didn't want nothing. Wanted to let you know, I love you. I know a little bit about it. That's the only time I hear from some of you when you're in trouble. I don't get no nice cards on how much you love me. I don't get no nice sex and how much you love me. It's always when you're in despair and heartache and trouble. And then after I pray for you and then weeks goes by and I'm wondering, are you dead or are you alive or what in the world happened? I see you somewhere. Oh yeah, I forgot to tell you the Lord answered your prayer the next day. And I'm thinking, duh, why didn't you tell me? Why do you do that to hurt me? Of course you don't. We're so busy and tied up with so many things of life. Why nobody cares for you, you really haven't got a friend. One. Can you imagine Satan telling him that? You haven't got one friend. Not really one friend. Now, if he would tell a man like this who knew millions of people, what do you figure he's going to tell some of you that's maybe got a half a dozen or a dozen around you? I'll tell you one thing. If you don't get your shotgun out and get it loaded up and go to shooting at this and realize that this is a dangerous fox. I don't care how long you've been in the message, how old you are, how young you are. Depression is a demon from hell. Notice how he says, remember, I'm not immune to the temptation. See, I got to over. You mean, Brother Branham had to overcome. I got to overcome that. Then when I look back and see something like this, now what he's referring to is the people that stayed over. People from Arkansas, people from Mississippi, people from whatever, and he walked by and seen their license plates, and he knew they was going to drive all night long after the service and get up and go to work the next morning. So he said, now, well, you know what? It encourages me. So when I come to them spots, them moody spots, and I feel like I ain't got a friend, then I'll remind the devil of this Sunday night service that all you all stayed over, and it was hard on you. Imagine attending church, encourage the prophet. Then I look back and see something like this, and I put it right back in his face and say, what about that? So you mean he would take the actions of the people and defeat the devil? Why didn't he quote a bunch of scriptures? It wasn't the scriptures that Satan used to discourage him. It was people. Well, praise God. Well, glory to God. One more fox dead. We got time to shoot at another one here, don't we? The fox of lukewarmness. Revelation 3:14. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. How many believers are still in time in the latest in age? In time. This is what you and I are going to fight till the body change. Lukewarmness. Now, Laodicea had a really unique setting, the city itself. It was known for manufacturing of wool, known for manufacturing of actually an eye salve, which they had found a process by which helped many different ailments of the eyes. It was also located between two famous cities, which were Hierapolis and Colossae. But yet, Laodicea itself did not have a great water source. Still a mystery in one sense of the word why they ever chose to build a city there, but they did. So the Hierapolis side, they was really famous for the hot springs. Now, they come out of the heart of the earth and the heated water, you know, over 100 degrees. So people would go there for health reasons. So they was able to channel hot water from Hierapolis. And Colossae was known for its deep limestone wells and water and springs and brooks. So they also brought water from Colossae. So here is Laodicea kind of sitting in the middle. Now Laodicea, of course, was a city, a town, a port town. And they brought the hot water from Hierapolis and they brought the cold water from Colossae. Now the hot water was too hot to drink. And for some people, the cold water was too cold. So they actually had it to merge inside the city itself. Now, whenever it would merge the real hot and the real cold, isn't it amazing how Jesus takes the things that they were very familiar with and uses it to type how the church is doing and the church age, our church age. So the hot water was way too hot to be able to drink and the cold water was too cold. So they would merge it there together in the city center. And it was a common thing in history that people would come in, visitors, tourists, whatever more, they'd come in there and they'd go to this fountain to drink. And whenever they would drink, they would start vomiting. You know why? Lukewarm water made them sick. Brother Brad, we got a pop. Let's go with the handnail. So God says about the Laodicean church. Now it was that church, but of course this church age. God said, you're neither cold, Colossae, or hot, Hierapolis. You are Laodiceans. You're not on fire, and you're not just, you know, totally away from me, but you've got just enough religion to make you miserable. You come to church, whether you need to or not. You really don't think it's that necessary, especially to come three times a week. But you go ahead and come on Sunday anyway, and then on Easter, and, you know, special things like that. But, you know, you're not in denial that there is a God. You're not in denial that His Word isn't true. But you're just not on fire with the Holy Ghost. You see, a lukewarm believer is one who serves God and mammon. Mammon is the world. So a lukewarm believer is like this. Now, I've never stood this way very long, but I can tell you from standing here for just a little short while, it would get really uncomfortable. Now, that's the way a lukewarm believer is. I mean, they've got a big, wide horse, apparently, because this is the way they walk. So, you know, they get off that big, wide horse, and they got Jesus, and they got the world, and they got all these things, so they can't run very fast because they can't walk. You're talking about bow-legged. They are bad bow-legged. They got just enough religion that they want to let people know they're religious, but they've got just enough world added to there that they're really not going to be hated and despised like an on-fire Christian will be. They are hauled between two opinions. Woo, come on, Fox, stick your head up. They content themselves with being able to confess there is a God and believe a portion of His truths, but they're never really going to take a hard stand that will, especially in this age that we're living in, that's really going to get them identified. So when some of the Laodicean preachers are asked, are you for or against gay marriage? The weather is supposed to be really hot tomorrow. It's the humidity is going to be terrible. Come on, you yellow-bellied coward. You can't say it, can you? Can't say it. Why? Typical Laodicean. Oh my goodness. Their life is not really about the glory of God. Oh, they love God, sure. And now notice how Jesus parallels this with the city itself. Now He said, as you all have seen many tourists get sick at your water source, so I am sick of your spiritual status. And your state makes me want to vomit. If any of you already felt ever, whenever you've felt like vomiting or vomited, and you just had this wonderful feeling to come over you, like a utopia, just, oh, here it comes, I'm fixing to vomit. Oh. After you went, and then you say, ah, I feel so good. Oh, that's awful, but it feels so wonderful when I'm done. It's repudiating, isn't it? You ever smelt any good vomit? You ever seen any good vomit? I know I'm making you sick. It's exactly what I want to do. I want you to understand how Jesus looked at our lukewarm heart. It smells worse than your worst vomiting stage you ever had in your life. Vomit is, oh, it's awful to a human. You can imagine how it is to God. They lost their vigor. They lost their joy. Oh, but it didn't all happen at once. That little bitty old fox started gnawing just a little bit. Now, God knows you can't read your Bible as much as you used to. God understands you don't have time for tapes. And He understands you're so busy that you can't go to church. God knows that. God understands everybody that. And you're fellowshipping with the wrong people and getting bad spirits on you, but God knows you've got to do it. God don't know any such trash. God knows you're choosing. Praise the Lord. I'll tell you one thing, friends. If you'll stand for Him, He'll stand for you. I don't care what people say. I don't care what the job market is. It makes no difference. When I was working secular work, when me and Carol got married, I was working at a motel there in Monticello called Anchor Motel. Well, they started cranking down on me. They thought I was a religious nut anyway because I wanted to go to church 3 times a week. Hey, we're going to take you for Wednesday night. Nope, I ain't doing it. Yep, you're going to have to do it. I said, no, I'll work around it. Nope. Well, I said, all right, I'll miss some, but I'm going to church on Wednesday night. Nope, we can't do it. Then they started, well, we're going to do it on Sunday. I said, now, right there, you're drawing the line. I am not giving up going to church. Well, that's all right. We'll call your teacher. Because me and Carol were still going to school. I was working in distributive education. So they said, we'll call your teacher. I said, go ahead and call her. Boy, she called me into her room. She was about that tall, nearly as round as she was tall. And she met her name was Ms. Gover. She met me there. She said, Donnie, put her finger up in my face. You're supposed to. I said, no, ma'am, I'm not going to do it. She said, they're going to fire you. I said, let them fire me. My God is more important to me than my job. Now, I know this is going to ruffle some of you all's feathers, but you know what? They fired me. The teacher jumped on me, and oh, my, I got it from every different direction, and we felt all alone. Me and Carol just had been married just a short time, and I thought, what in the world am I going to do? But you know what God done? I worked right here on this side of the road at the Anchor Motel. My cousin's husband, which was in charge of a certain department right across the road at a place owned by a Jew, a garment factory, they fired me on Friday. I went to work over there on Monday. You know why? I put God first. Some of you put Him 32nd, 39th, 185, 3,942, and then you wonder why God don't move for you. It's quite simple. You don't put God first. You'll never have joy, real joy, till you put Him first. You'll never have that satisfaction till you put Him first. God ain't going to play second fiddle to nobody.
Well, Brother Donnie, you was young and ignorant and didn't know no better. Some of you'd be better off if you was ignorant then. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego was probably considered quite ignorant themselves. You know, there's got to be a psychological way we can work around this. Psychology won't take the fire out. Daniel, no doubt, was considered ignorant as well. If you're really a better Laodicean, it's constantly counterbalancing. Typical literacy. Well, you know, I mean, got to provide for my family. I've got to make a living. And what about your family's soul? Another statistic I read this morning in commemoration of Father's Day. Kids that are raised without a father, 20 times more risk of being incarcerated. Drug abuse. It was unbelievable. One thing after another after another. That's not just when the father's out of the house. That's when the father gives them, does not give them the proper direction and teaching living in the house. So that means some of you is going to defy the odds. I honor our, some of our sisters sitting here. They're sorry outfit and husbands go off and leave them, run off with somebody else. You'll go to hell for such. Some of our sisters take that responsibility, not just here, but other places around the world where I've met them. They never ask for that burden. They never ask for that responsibility. Some sorry man leave them there. Come on, church, preach with me. Some sorry man leave them there by themselves and them have to get out and make a living for them and provide for them. I guarantee you one thing. It ain't going to be preachers. Just preachers that's going to stand there that day and have a reward. There's going to be some single mamas that's going to walk up that day. And the Lord Jesus is going to look at them and say, you overcome. You stood in that position. You raised you. Come on, saints. It's the truth. Is it easy? Of course it ain't easy. Who said Christianity was easy? You see, there's three spiritual temperatures. The way God measures the condition of a heart. Three spiritual temperatures. Hot, cold, lukewarm. Luke 24:31, and their eyes were open and they knew him and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, did not our heart freeze, chill, ice cubes, burn. Look at the word burn, to set on fire, light, burning, to burn, consume with fire. That's what I want my heart to stay. Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us? By the way, he's doing it right here this morning, friends. He's talking with us, by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures. Then there's the cold heart, Matthew 24:12, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. And then the lukewarm heart, Revelation 3:16, so then because thou art lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. So the lukewarm Christian is complacent. He does not really see the full extent of his need. But he kind of couples up with another little fox, which is called the by and by fox. Y'all ever heard of him? The by and by fox. Well, the by and by fox is, I'm going to get closer to God by and by when the morning comes. I'm going to quit this habit. I'm going to lay this aside by and by. I'm going to do this by and by. And you keep on buying, and you're going to fry and fry. By and by don't produce rapturing faith. But it's what a Laodicean wants. It's what a Laodicean does. By and by. And this is what you as the bride are going to fight until the day you are changed. Lukewarmness. Cold. It may simply start out with your fervor and clapping your hands. By and by, when the morning comes, when all... Then you go from that to... By and by, when the morning comes... Brother Louis, would you please hush? I'm so tired of standing. Oh God, would he shut his mouth? And you think it's him. It ain't him at all. Your fervor, your vigor, your fire. Why? In time, you're still in Laodicea. And the waters are trying to merge where? In your life. So the on fire word, the on fire revelation, and the coldness out here of the world, they try to merge. Where? In the focal point of you. And you become the point where both of these, the stream from Hierapolis and the stream from Colossae, they try to meet right in your life and make you a complacent, lukewarm Christian. You believe the message? Sure. Yes, sir. Going in the rapture? Absolutely. You on fire with God? Well, we've all got issues now. I mean, we've all... I'm working on things. What gets me is a lot of those folks who have that attitude, they're working on, but they never get nothing done. And you ask them 3 years from now, they're still working on it, but they're deeper in than they was 3 years ago. Thank you, Jesus. According to Brother Michael, he texted me this morning and said him and Harry was talking about, and they said that I should pull a Brother Tim today since we didn't have church last night, that I should preach double services. But I'm afraid if I did, there wouldn't be enough funeral homes in this area here to take care of everybody. What about it, friends? Let's be honest. Have any of you felt the fox of lukewarmness nibbling on your vigor and your strength? Let's be honest. Brother Donnie, you ever felt it? I guarantee you I felt it. I ain't going to stand here and be no liar. I'm going to be honest. I have to press beyond lukewarmness. But you preach all the time. You study nearly every day of your life. You're right. I do. And I pray and I talk to God and God talks to me back. But I'm still, my body is still captured in this city of Laodicea. And the water, hallelujah, the on fire water comes from Hierapolis. But the coldness of Laodicea and the coldness of depression and the coldness of sin and the coldness of darkness is still all around me. And where do they converge? Right here.
These poor Laodiceans had lost their values. And they lost their sight. They lost their sight. Because they'd look in a mirror and they'd see themselves and say, what do you see? Mirror, mirror on the wall. Who's the fairest church of them all? And the mirror answered back, Laodicea. So they looked at us and said, we are rich. We're increased with goods. We have need of nothing. But God looked at him and said, you're wretched. You're poor. You're blind. You're naked. And the most awful part about it is, you don't even know it. You do know the end of the city of Laodicea, right? Destroyed. Destroyed. But there were some saints in the city, natural city, of Laodicea. I imagine when they heard this message from John the Revelator on the Isle of Patmos, they grabbed a hold to that book, that parchment, Brother Dowell, and they embraced it to themselves because it was personally identified with them. And they said, oh God, please help me. Maybe they heard it and said, yes, Lord, I felt that myself. I felt it. They would have been aware of the cold water and the hot water. They would have been aware of the salve. They would have been aware of the wool. They would have been aware of the gold that was around. Very wealthy city. Very, very wealthy city. And this is what they prided themselves in. My, look at our churches. We've got the biggest churches it's ever been. We've got radio programs, TV programs. We've got digital format. We've got everything. We're winning the world. Are we? Are we? So when a Laodicean preacher wins somebody, what do they win them to? What do y'all stand for? Not much of anything. What do y'all believe? I'm not sure, but I ain't been going there for 45 years, so I'm not really sure what we believe. You don't believe in holiness, do you? Oh, God, no. You're not a skirt church. No, we're not a skirt church. We're a pants church. In a mini dress church.
Now, does the Bible say anything about women's dress? I don't think so. No, I don't think it does. I really don't think it does. And after all, our pastor is more wide-minded than that. Also matches his legs, I suppose. He's wide-legged, so he's wide-minded. Our pastor is more wide-minded. He thinks that sometimes a coat of paint really does good for a barn. Well, I agree with your pastor on a barn, but that sure ain't much to call yourself as a barn. But they're typical Laodiceans, so you know what? We don't want to run nobody off. You notice great gospel singers, and they start singing. Many of them start out really good. They're gifted. They're talented. God helps them. If they're younger, their songs will go to getting a little bit wilder and a little bit wilder and a little bit wilder. And of course, the testimony is always the same thing. We're trying to reach the young people. So we're trying to reach the young people with rock gospel. Let's get them Jesus. That's what they need to be reached with. What does it do? Introduce compromise. Look at the contemporary worship friends in many of the Laodicean churches. So they have a contemporary worship, which is nothing but rock and roll, and then they have the traditional one. A mighty fortress is our God. And the other, a mighty fortress is our God. Ding, 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 ding. Because the band leader was on dope. And then the preacher comes out with his shirt tail all hung out. And he's a modern-looking guy with a beard. A modern-looking Laodicean. And I've come to tell you how Jesus knows you can't live right. Well, I've come to tell you Jesus wants to help you to live right. And Jesus wants to fill you with the Holy Ghost. Amen. And if I do fall out, and if I do pass out, it won't be because I'm on dope. It'll be because I've got touch of heaven. And I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. And we're soaring in heavenly places. So we're having a rock concert for Jesus. What do you believe about wholeness? Wholeness. What's that? You can tell what kind of horse I ride. But you're going to be riding one too. But yours don't make you bow-legged because you stand for something. Oh, of course, this is why that they're musicians, you know, they go in that direction. Well, we don't entertain Christians. We're Christian entertainers. So we're Christians that still sing country. We're Christians that still sing rock and roll so you can stand up and go wild, go crazy. But we're still Christian entertainers. And the theory is Christian firemen don't put out just Christians' fires. They put out everybody's fires. So if Christian firemen put out sinners' fires, Christian entertainers can sing rock and roll. Is it any wonder people want to kill themselves? After listening to some of that head bashing stuff, it might make you want to do that bang, bang, bang. Laodiceans. Lukewarm. Blind, wretched, miserable, naked. And Jesus says, I am going to But it shows they wasn't elect by where he spewed them from. They come from his mouth, not his heart. They come from his mouth, not his hands. Because the elect's names are engraved on his hands. So he spewed them or vomited them from his mouth. And says, I will no longer call you church. So play your rock and roll. Play your country. Let your pastors be modern Laodiceans. You are not my people. So go on, dance yourself into the tribulation period. So they scream and they holler at a Jesus concert. Really? Is that the way they acted on the day of Pentecost? The music blaring and beating. And... come on, saints. This little fox of lukewarmness. Try to steal your prayer life. Try to get you cold and different. Try to steal your amens. Try to steal your participation part in the service. Brother Donnie, I don't want to act like you. Lord have mercy, you act like I don't know what. Well, nobody's saying you got to act like me. But God does want you to act like the way He wants you to act. Not so much the way you are. Well, I'll tell you one thing. My Holy Ghost is a gentleman. So is mine. He's the gentleman. I'm just the idiot. He takes hold of me and he uses me however he wants to, and I'll submit to it. Well, praise the Lord. The Holy Ghost got on Elijah that way that day, and he girded up his loins. I'll tell you one thing. He must have been a sight to see. Here took off that horse and chariots, and the Holy Ghost moved on Elijah. He outrun that. My goodness, I'd like to have him in the Kentucky Derby with me. The Holy Ghost moved on that man. Here he come a running. Why? God wanted to prove a point. What it was, I'm not sure. But apparently God wanted to prove it. God may want to get one of these young people and really get a hold of them real good, but they go to shaking around and jerking around and maybe scare some of the starch out of the rest of some of you. Why, God's looking for somebody that'll shake the old coldness of Laodicea and the lukewarmness away from our hearts. Let's stand together. Of course, when people go to a soccer game, they all sit the way y'all did this morning. Right. My team just won. Right. Oh, thank you, thank you, thank you. They go to a rock and roll concert. The guys up there beating and carrying on the way they are. And everybody said, nearer my God to thee. They break their guitars. They kick the drums and carry on off the stable. The wilder they get, the people say, yes, yes. And we're scared to death of a little bit of emotion. Well, I still believe it's the old-fashioned way. The prophet said any religion without emotion needs to be buried. It's dead. Any marriage without emotion is dead too. That's what this is. A marriage. Any walk without God, without some sort of emotion. You've got a fox that's got a hold to your life. He's trying to bleed the emotion, bleed that part of you which ties you to God. I want to give Him my all, don't you? Everything. Now, y'all know me well enough to know I've given my heart to God, my soul to God. I give my body to God. I give my time to God. My humiliation, my pride, whatever more. I give it to God. We go to singing here in a few minutes, and the Holy Ghost hits me real good to run up and down them aisles. I'll make a lap. Oh, Brother Tony, you wouldn't. You know me better than that. I would never do that. I'd be careful saying never. First thing you know, you'll be right after me. Brother Donnie, that ain't the message. Brother Branham would disagree with you. As a matter of fact, there's some black folks come to Brother Branham's church, and he said, there's up there, you know, they got to sing, and that sister beating on that piano, and one of them had a washboard, and another had a thimble, and they was playing their homemade type of instruments. There's going to be a meeting in the air. He said he sat up there in the seat of the scornful. Right? Sat down in the seat of the scornful. Oh, my goodness, in my church, a Baptist church. Oh, my goodness. What's people going to say? He said, the next thing you know, I started patting my foot a little bit. He said, then she got out in the middle of the floor dancing around. And he said, the next thing I knew, I was right down the floor dancing with her. Oh, y'all didn't know that was a quote. Yes, you have. I've read that to you before. What is it, friends? Another fox. Another fox just to We used to be up here. And we just keep lowering them. I mean, I don't know too much, but they always told me a flag at half mast meant somebody was dead. Before long, the flag won't be there and we'll get rid of the pole. David didn't have any of y'all going to his church when he was here because David kept saying, amen, we've gotten otters today. Or if they don't like you, I get a lot of them too, you know. I know you laugh, but it's that little fox. Oh, you don't start on great big old things. Just little big old things. Your amens, your praise of the Lord, your clapping your hands, your worshiping God, your prayer life, your faithfulness to God. And before long, you're standing there like a stick. Just a stick. Nothing moves you. You can't cry no more. Can't feel nothing no more. But as soon as you walk out of church, you come alive. Wow! Let's go kayaking! Yes! Let's go by Bojangles and get some chicken and go up on Rome Mountain and go hiking! Yes! I was scared to death Brother Donnie was going to go over and mess up our hiking trip. I'm hiking too, up the mountain of faith. I'm not against you kayaking. As long as you don't put it for God. But shame on you if you're going up to a Hoover Dam or not Hoover, Wilbur. You're going up to Wilbur and you're getting your little kayak. And you're cruising down, or however it is you do it. I haven't been on one, so I don't know how it is. But anyway, you get down through there, and all of a sudden, you look down in your lap, and there's a serpent. And you say, my, I'm not an emotional person. So, and you calmly say to your husband, would you please come and remove this serpent from my kayak? It would be very much appreciate it. Right. Us men would scream like girls. Especially if it's a water moccasin. I might sink, but I'd probably be like Peter. I'd try to walk on water. So you see, we are emotional. But we let our emotions go in the direction we want them to go. God help us. Let's bow our heads, shall we? Oh, Lord Jesus. What a sad, burdened, heavy world we live in, Lord. With the increase of suicide, the increase of substance abuse, alcohol, so many things of people searching, looking, hunting for satisfaction. And yet, Lord Jesus, the answer is you. But if we would offer you, to many they would laugh. Many of them, all they've seen is hypocrites anyway, so. Yeah, right. I know this person, that person, that person. They live this way, that way, do this, that, the other. But yet, Lord, we're not here to offer a church. We're not here to offer a bunch of creeds. We're not even here to offer them a prophet. We're here to offer them you. No prophet can save us. No preacher can save us. Only you can bring that peace, Lord. Then for those who do go to church, the typical Laodicean, they don't really preach a standard. They compromise. In order to get the crowd, they have to build buildings that'll house all kinds of fun and entertainments and let that be the drawing power instead of the gospel. In order to keep the young people, they have to change the order of services, do away with the hymns, turn it into a miniature rock and roll concert. But Jesus, you still have the same drawing power that you've had for 2,000 years. We're so grateful for that today, Lord. I pray that you'd help each of us Lord God, help me. Lord, when this fox comes around my life of lukewarmness, help me, Lord Jesus. Help me to shake him off. Get him away from me, Lord. Oh God, may you move on every person's heart, young, old, middle-aged. We don't need our highs from pills. We don't need our excitement from some rock band where they burst their guitars and screaming and hollering and carrying on. It comes from you, Lord Jesus. If it's the Holy Ghost, it can be the anointing. It can fall on amazing grace, just like it can meeting in the air where everybody will be happy over there. Help us, Lord Jesus. Lord, may we search our hearts for those that may be fighting depression. I pray you'd minister to them, Lord. Here, or that'll stream the service. For those, Father, that's dealing with lukewarmness, and if they're not dealing with it today, they will in time. Because it's part of the conditions remaining in this world that we have to deal with. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord Jesus. We've not come, oh God, into a building. We've not come to a bunch of you do and you don't, and you can and you can't, and you do and you don't. We know there's do's and don'ts that come with it, but we want to get them to you first. Then you'll help them when we preach the do's and the don'ts to see the importance of it. Oh, Jesus, forgive us of our failures, Lord. Here we are in between the cold and the hot. The blazing fire, not from Hierapolis, but from the throne of God. The coldness of hell that is all around us. And they both try to converge in our mortality to make us lukewarm. Please, Jesus, help us, Father. May we shake ourselves. May we do everything we can do, Father God. Amen. I may like to be remembered today before the Lord. God knows your hearts, friends. No matter where you are, what you're dealing with in your life. Oh my goodness. Many of you are Christians. You love God. Many of you feel with the Holy Ghost. But that old lukewarm thing, that old cold and different thing, may God help you today. Just to minister to you. But He can only help us when we see our need of being help. Can't you see why the church, the Laodicean church, has to have these other things to satisfy them, to bring excitement. There's no excitement from the Word. So they have to have all these other things to get the people excited. But the Word of God ought to be the greatest thing that excites our hearts and our lives. Coming to church, doing the things of God. Would you just do me a favor and lay hands on the person standing there by you? Just turn and lay your hand one on the other. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Lord, as we stand here today, Father, here in my vision, seeing Brother Keith Phillips able to come back in church today, we so thank you, Lord, for our brother. Been able to be here. We know, Lord, he's fought a tremendous battle and he's kept the faith, and we thank you for it. Pray that you just continue to strengthen him, be with him in his body, Lord. So I walked by the vehicle last night, Lord Jesus, seeing Brother Eugene Kennedy sitting out in the car and able to come in church, but yet wanting to be identified coming to the house of God. We pray for our brother. We pray for other needs, Lord Jesus. But we also want to bring our spiritual needs before you today, Lord. Help us, I pray, Father. Oh, Lamb of God, search us. May we see ourselves, Lord. May we not take the shovel and the pitchfork this morning and throw this sermon to this brother, to that brother, to this sister, to that one. But Lord, may we look at ourselves, find those areas of our life, Lord Jesus, that we are lukewarm or indifferent. Help us, I pray today, Father. May the presence of God just minister to every heart today, Lord. May the water, O Lamb of God, hallelujah, hallelujah. May the boiling fire from the Lamb of God so come inside of our souls that we will say like those on the way from Emmaus, did not our hearts ignite? did not our hearts catch on fire as He talked to us along the way? This is the way, Lord Jesus, will fight the fox of lukewarmness, is Your Word speaking to us. And us complying to that Word, that's the way we'll fight this fox. Oh, Lord Jesus, help us, I pray. Each one today, Father, we love You, Lord, with all of our hearts. We thank You for Your goodness, Your mercy, Lord. Minister to us, I pray, dear God. Oh, Jesus, we love You, Father. Hallelujah. Sing something for us, Harry. We worship You today, Lord God. We worship You today, Lord God. Look, children, what do you have need of? Well, Brother Donnie, but I don't feel anything. Don't forget this woman example that I used. Her need was so great. When she came to the Lord Jesus, He said to her, I am not even sent to your race. Your race is a bunch of dogs. Now, what if Jesus said that to you, Brother Frank? What if Jesus said that to us, Brother Aaron? We'd get so mad, many of you wouldn't even stay the remaining portion of the service. You'd get so mad, you'd go out on Facebook before you left the parking lot and go to telling everybody. You know why? That meant more to you than your need. But this woman's need was so great, Jesus Himself tried to discourage her. Not the devil. Jesus. We've got to be babied and pampered and babied. But if our needs ever become great enough. As I said, she didn't even have a promise. There was no promise for this woman. Jesus wasn't drawing her. He was trying to get rid of her. What was her faith in? Think of it. Where did she get this kind of faith? There wasn't a Starbucks on the outside and she got a Starbucks coffee and a donut and a rock and roll concert. Well, if you'll beg me, if you'll rub me on the head, if you'll prophesy to me, I might come. I might move my membership. The disciples said, get out of here, woman, leave us alone. Jesus said, woman, I'm not even sent to you. You're a dog. They throw her out. She snuck right back in again. Oh, praise God. The little Mexican woman down in Mexico that had that baby that was dead. Amen. The ushers got rid of her. You know what she done? She didn't get mad, go back, said, I'll not be back. Glory to God. She climbed over the top of the usher's back. She crawled underneath her legs. Brother George Smith told me not long ago that they kind of acted that out down in Mexico not long ago. Over 1,000 people, I think it was, sitting there, and they had a preacher standing up there in the pulpit. And he was acting out, Brother Branham, and they had a little baby, a woman with a little baby. This woman was climbing over people's backs. Oh my. She comes up to this man imitating Brother Branham and he lays hands on him. The little baby screams. Whenever that baby screamed, that place ought to blow it apart. They was reliving it. One of the preachers asked her, said, how you get that baby to scream? Said, I pinched it. Sometimes that's what the Holy Ghost has to do to us. Ow! Ow! Hallelujah! Oh, thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. Look, children, if we are lukewarm, we will not make the rapture. God's penalty for lukewarmness is... We don't want loud music so much and emotion that makes us scream and holler and pitch and fall and stagger. If we're drunk on the Holy Ghost, that's fine. But not by music and not by emotion. We want to be so one with God that our hearts are burning. Oh, hallelujah. Anybody feel that way? Oh, Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Pass this way today, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. They can have the rock and roll, Lord. They can have their Starbucks in the church. They can have their pageants and this and that and the other. Give us Jesus. Give us a new birth. Give us young people, Lord God, that will weep their way through to repentance until they're so changed the world loses its sight. Give us married men, single women that love you so much. You matter more than anything in the world to them, Lord. Grant it, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And we'll leave Laodicea behind by the grace of God. Praise God. Come by today, Lord Jesus, I pray. Praise God. Oh, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Let's worship Him just a little before we go, can we? I know you probably got plans today and you got your Father's Day thing and whatever more, but let's not forget the main Father's Day. He's the main Father. Praise God. Praise God. We worship you, Jesus. We worship you,
Jesus.
Bless your name, Lord God.
Is all that really
bless your name, Lord Jesus. Let Him touch and dry that lukewarm feeling away.
Then your life will never be.
Hallelujah.
Oh, hallelujah.
Oh, blessed God.
There's only one way to touch Him.
Gotta touch you.
Just be.
Somebody touched me while I was praying. Somebody touched me while I was praying. Lord Jesus. Oh, praise be to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We worship you, Father. Let's just raise our hands once more. Lord, we thank you for your word today. Thank you so much we could have church, Lord, working it out where we could get our transformer fixed. We thank you, Lord, that not only do we have a transformer that allowed us to have electricity, but we thank you that you come to the earth to become a transformer. Our lives could merge into yours and we would die and would be born again and be transformed to be ready to walk down streets of gold. Lord Jesus, we ask that you'd help each of us today. May we take what we've heard. May we apply it to our lives, Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus. May we not be forgetful hearers, as James mentioned, drunk on Laodicea, drunk on the world. Oh God, may we not be soft, lazy compromisers, but may we stand for the truth of the Word of God. We can expect to be hated, laughed at, and ridiculed, but that comes with part of it. How it must have seemed that day when Peter, James, and John, Mary, all of those that were in the upper room, and the Holy Ghost come in such a way, they staggered out of that upper room, Lord. Praise God. Coming out of that place, and the people looked at him and said, these people are drunk. They didn't deny they weren't drunk. They must have been staggering and falling and carrying on. Amen. But they said, this is the third hour of the day. This is not what you think it is. This is that which is spoken by the prophet Joel. Oh, Lord Jesus, may that original Pentecostal fire live in our hearts today. That's what your prophet, that's what he was sent to do. Not to take us away from the Bible. Not to bring a new book to replace the Bible. But to return our hearts back to the original apostolic faith. They believed in healing the sick, casting out devils, raising the dead. Praise God. We believe this Omega Church will believe the same gospel. No wonder the prophet said there in Shreveport, we need to get so drunk in the presence of God that we don't even know what our name is. Oh, help us, Father, that we just lose sight of this old world. We love you, Lord. Go with us now, Father, I pray. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. God bless you, saints. Having said it's been good to be in the house of the Lord today. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank God for his mercy to us. Service Wednesday night. Let's come back expecting the Lord to speak to us again. Let's sing it as we go. Glory, glory. Glory, glory, glory.